everything that has crossed your path, you have a memory of. You don't pay any attention to the neutral ones. You suppress the tormenting ones, and you try to elevate the wonderful ones. But all of them are imaginations. All of them affect your imaginations. Now, it doesn't matter whether or not you remember it or not. That's what you have to understand. We must allow God, through His Holy Spirit, to cleanse and wash all of that with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present a holy church without spot or wrinkle. And that you've agreed that you will not to be brought under the control of anything, but you're under the control of all these things. Mm-hmm. Now, I told you that normally we try to push those painful experiences out of mind. We bury them deeper and deeper and deeper. The more that we've buried them for the longer period of time, the more control they have over us. Now, all of those things that were not expressed at the time of the experience, because of fear, because of trauma, because of social customs, because of all of the things of Molech, they are now, those that were emotional traumas are still alive within you, and they're buried dead. I mean, they're buried alive. And they just wait there. The deeper they're buried, the farther down they're buried, they're just sitting there waiting like a snake, waiting for a stimulus to come along that's similar to what caused that one. And then that little thing, that hurt child or horrified child or humiliated child, will come out and strike. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. You understand? Mm-hmm. Is it, you relate to your own experience?
Yeah.
Now, these things have amazing persistence, and they have power beyond anything that you can believe. Now, I want you to stop for a minute and think of the energy that has taken you all your life to keep those things buried alive.
Speaking energy right now.
That's why most of you, you know, many of you have, you can't, you wake up, you're dead when you wake up in the morning. There's no energy, there's no life. Why? You know, there's thousands of little hurts, thousands of little... Because you've been fighting to suppress these things all your life. And the fight's getting old. When you work harder and harder than anybody, and you get nowhere, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes. Now, the thing that happened to you, that those stimuli, and there's hundreds of them, there's not one. It's not like a high place identity. There's hundreds of them. Thousands of them. The deeper ones get buried, 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 and they just sit there and lurk and wait for an experience that's like the stimulus that happened to cause that first one, then up comes all the works of the flesh. And depending on your high place identity is how the works of the flesh will be manifested. Rage, lust,
raging.
Loneliness, fear, rejection, inferiority, no faith. Now, when they're exposed, you see that it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see the lie of separation is gone. You see you were never separate from the Father. that you have never been anything other than Christ in you, the hope of glory. That this whole illusion, this trip that you've been taking has been a lie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it's covered by the blood of Christ. You're taken in the arms of the Father. And the things that cause that experience to be so horrific will now be transformed into that test that was part. There's no such thing as punishment then, just as there's no such thing as punishment now. No evil thing can befall you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You go back in time with you. God does. Replacing condemnation with love. Replacing rejection with forgiveness. Replacing fear with joy.
One of the things that you said last week was that these things that happened to us that caused irreparable damage. It couldn't be irreparable if it's replaceable.
It's not only irreparable, it causes your death. You have to see that it never happened to you. It was always Christ.
So there's no reparable or irreparable. It's not even relevant.
No.
Yeah.
The flesh is not.
It's the wrong game.
Yeah. That just kind of got crossed in my mind during the week. It was like, well, how could it be reparable or irreparable?
Yeah. Now, write a list as we continue over the next few days. Weeks, months, years. Areas where you are now in bondage. And you know where you're in bondage. Write a list of the things that bother you. Stimuluses that take you away and out of the rest. There is nothing under the sun that can really take you out of the rest. It's only your mind which is believe the lie of separation. And so if it's your mind, then it has something to do with this half-second stuff. Therefore, it has something to do with this hurting child, this horrified child, this tormented child, this hated child that believed the lie. Now, pray that God will open your mind. Pray that you will no longer suppress these arenas, these things. And we as a body know that you're accepted here no matter what happens. And therefore any of these things can be discussed and opened, no matter how painful. The scriptures say not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the only way this arena is going to... You just have to be open. He will it and do it in you. Now this isn't some kind of... This isn't stuff where you're going to get any sympathy for any little dealies. This is a place where you're going to have an opportunity to confess a trespass, have it opened, dealt with, and forgiven, and gone on. You understand? This isn't psychotherapy. This isn't you're going to get any better. Hopefully this will cause you to run to the cross. In all of these arenas.
Are we going to be confessing no faith in all these areas? Is that what?
No.
Hey, let me ask you a question. So I'm confusing myself on one point. This idea of, all right, the half second, there's a thought which is God, you know, the original thought, and then there's the response, and there's a half second in between. Okay? You know, and at the end of that crack in the half second comes all the stuff. okay, what is the position that we're coming to in faith? Is it that...
Ask what you will. It shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you.
Okay.
That you have overcome the evil one. You no longer give breath to this.
What happens in the walk of faith? What's happening in that half second? I mean, I know what's happening in the walk of...
Testing. Spiritual.
So what happens in faith then? There's our real response. It's tested in that half second anyway. Right?
No, I'll say I believe that we are, just as I believe that the pineal body becomes the pineal gland as in a when it's activated by faith. So I believe that in us, as we move closer and closer, being transfigured by the renewing of our mind, that half second delay will go away.
Yeah.
Is this
because it's only Christ that can prophesy, and prophecy has to have no time.
Yeah. That's what's really been hitting me about the renewing of the mind. I'm seeing eating that fruit and disregarding the neutral ones, but elevating the positive ones and sublimating or pushing down the negative ones and becoming a Gentile walking in the
vanity of your mind.
Of this mind, but being double-minded and being unstable in all ways because of that double-mindedness, that separation in here that happened. It's just and knowing that this conscious part isn't thinking, it isn't purged from dead works, which are supposedly the good ones. It's incredible.
Okay. Now remember, I asked you to, as this continue. I mean, right now, I want you constantly write down areas that you're in bondage. Write down things that bother you.
Okay.
Now, I'm not just saying do that right now. I'm just saying do that all the time, as it comes to mind. Okay. Now, in this process, what's going to happen to us is we'll find out something that we'll confess often. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This is not going to be a one-time affair when you're going to be able to sit in a hot seat. This is a thing that's over a process, over a period of time, we're going to cast down imaginations.
I just thought, this is the life. This is what we do all day long as we go around. When it hits us, that's when we take care of it.
Yeah, but I want you to write it down as a childish thing, because you're not... I want you to write it down. Because it has to be where... There's a freeing in the act of confession. You confess your fault one to another that you might be healed. Now you have to see it as a fault, not as an excuse. If you see it as an excuse, you're just running around justifying yourself some more. You have to see it as a trespass, not as an excuse to justify your inaction. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now we're going to kind of codify these things. Forgive me, I hate to do this. I don't know any other way to do it. But I want you to remember, as the child, you're a small child again. As far back as you can go, I want you to remember the terror when you were separated from your parents. The death or divorce or absence of one or both of your parents for any reason. You didn't know anything about judging parents then. You didn't decide. The rebellion wasn't an issue at this point. They weren't good or bad. They were parents. They were all where you knew of life. And they left you. It may have only left you for 5 minutes, but it created terror. They may have, for a punishment, locked you in a closet. They may have, for punishment, locked you in a room, let you cry it out. If you were living, they may have taken you. In my case, I can remember my father taking me to the barn. This was before I got the wolf. I showed him.
He just make you stay in the barn?
Yeah, he made me stay in the barn. Now, write this down and let be open to the Spirit of God to make it and bring to mind. Some of you, these things are so far suppressed, you can't even remember when you were 3 or 2 or something, much less, I mean, you're lucky to remember when you were 15.
Is it a series of things that happened during your whole adolescence that screw you up?
We're not talking adolescence. We're talking infancy, child.
Well, I mean, does it stop at infancy, child? Or does it just compound it? I mean, it starts when you're an infant, but does it compound
just,
it?
Yeah, it just compounds it.
But the real bad ones are earlier?
Well, the most powerful ones are the ones connected with a basic lie. That's always, you got to think that logically. The basic lie is the lie of separation. So the ones that emphasize or amplify the lie of separation are the ones that will have the most control over you as that hurting child or horrified child or terrorized. That's who I'm talking to right now.
I'm not sure if I write down the reaction, the event, or I'm not sure.
Okay. I just want you to...
be writing.
Well, I want... Again, we're going without any... I don't know. I don't know how to do this. We're going... probably the safest bet is to write down a thing that hurts you worse. Whatever it is that you're most afraid of discussing.
You can remember.
The area when we start to open the door, and pretty soon you feel that knot in your stomach.
It's always a good.
But it doesn't have to take place as a child, right? It could have taken place in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I don't care when this thing takes place. I want you to I want to know. Like for Larry, suffers the fear of separation it used to be every 3 hours, but at least it's done.
Yeah, there's a string that goes back someplace, but wherever the latest thing is.
Whatever the latest, that's the reason. I don't care whether you can. Don't worry about saying trying to go back in time. You'll go back in time when you start pulling that string. You just remember the latest fear of separation.
Oh,
and then back, and then back, and then back, and then back. And as that string is pulled, you'll come back to the point in time. Now there's some of us that are really weird that want more separation, that ran away all the time as yours. Rather than, there wasn't any fear of separation, there was a desire to run away. But that, it's the same concept, it's just a different response to the high place identity. It's a lie of separation.
Yeah, because there was the fear of being hurt. Yeah. Because I ran away a lot. And I wanted
that one. Well, running away was power, control.
Yeah. So something I've noticed about just this one facet, have your fear of death or absence of a parent. It's an analogy between of our relationship between us and God, the parent and the child. Then,
right. It's good. Well, you understand what we're going to go through a whole bunch of areas, and then there's no lot. You got to come up with. I mean, you'll help. You'll begin to speak, and we'll. I mean, this is a process that we're involved in.
I'm sitting here. I'm really struggling because I don't want to remember my childhood. I don't want to.
I know, because it justifies your existence.
I don't know, but I'm just as much terror as.
No, Pam, listen, please. Hear me.
Having to go through all that.
No. your childhood you've used as a justification. Remember the argument, the discussion we had at Groves? That you have an inability to confess. Your inability to confess is your confessions are ever and always justifications. Now, the reason is, the reason that you don't want to go back and because it'll destroy that argument.
Help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get past this terror.
What is the terror?
I just don't even want to think about anything back there. I'd just rather not. I'd rather live from now on and not.
But you understand,
therefore
you regret, therefore you don't forgive, therefore you can't accept forgiveness, therefore you think that if your childhood was different, you'd be a better person, therefore you use that as an excuse for your own failings, therefore you use that as an excuse for your own actions, ad nauseum. I don't care how bad your childhood was, it's not your business. You've never been your own, you've just bought the lie of separation. If you want to continue the lie of separation.
No, that's what I'm saying, and I don't want it. I'm crying out for help, I want to get past this. I want to be able to go ahead and do whatever I've got to do to get through this stuff.
Well, believe me, then you have to start. You have to take a step to see that you have to see how much that still controls you.
I don't think I do. I mean, I wouldn't be so bananas when you first started discussing it, but was it controlling it?
No, I think you would. You would be, again, your false identity would be bananas. Because your bananas response is unconscious, irrational. Am I communicating? The only thing that I will say again is that you are murdering, you're doing every work of the flesh in here. Because you are, just as when you were a child, you wanted to kill your parents, and so you continue to kill them. So you continue to kill anyone that reminds you of that situation. But it's killing, Pam. It's not, it's murder. It's just, from God's standpoint, it's as real as if you cut them up with a knife. Every time you are faced with an opportunity to experience joy and gladness, then that hurting child, that guilt-ridden child says, I don't deserve it, I can't. Every time God would have you prophesy, that child comes and, you know, you do it for a minute and then you're silent for a season. It's got to be seen. Again, you're still buying the lie.
Right. So you thought back then that you'd been forsaken, and you still think you're being forsaken. You don't even want to go back right now.
So you're ever, that's what, you're denying the power of God. You're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You have a form of godliness, but you deny his power. You think fear is acceptable.
I do, I'm not aware of that.
You've lived in it. That's all you've known. Every motivation that you've had is fear. God has set before you total freedom. Now, it's as real as these stupid movies that, I can't really think of them, but I'm sure there are all kinds of movies where you have to go into this terrible place and you have to make it through this thing to get to the jewel. Well, the worst movie they could ever define is nothing compared to what we're talking about doing. I said it'd be worse because it's extended.
It's like D&D for real.
But this is the risk.
It's like every mythological idea and story is this the life of faith is this thing. It's like,
hacking.
The weapons of our warfare.
What's the name of that thing? Habitation of Dragons.
But the most important is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Second most important is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so he will go back in time with you. Third is that we will never leave you nor forsake you. You can leave, but you don't have to walk out the door to leave. You just leave in your mind. It's just the same thing.
I don't want to leave. I just wanted to confess that, so I wasn't sitting here just so terrorized I couldn't go back. I want to go ahead and do it.
No. Just... Let's concentrate on the first one then. Death or divorce or absence of your parents or somebody important to you. Couldn't. That's why most of you can't have a relationship really with people, is because the relationship, even with friends or here, is based on fear. So you eat each other's flesh rather than eating the flesh of the Son of God. Because of fear of separation. Some of you would be terrorized if I left. You know, fortunately the body would continue now, but you'd still be terrorized if I left. That's kind of stupid. Really stupid. If you knew me, you'd know how stupid that was. Well, if you know me as well as I know me. So that's an arena. Try to ask to see how those fears are controlling you, and ask to be able to experience the root cause so that it can be confessed and seen as a trespass. And we are going to get it covered in the trespass offering.
That's what I don't see right now is the trespass part of it.
Well, it wasn't a trespass then because you were a child.
Uh-huh. It's hanging on to it.
But it's a trespass now because your response is as though you did it now. Your subconscious mind doesn't know any time.
Uh-huh. We're purging your conscience from dead
work. Right.
It's a dead work.
It's a dead work because you're still responding as an adult. Everybody understand that?
Yeah. Thank you.
It's as though it just happened to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you're a little kid or even an infant. It doesn't matter if you're his tutor.
22 minutes old.
But if you're still responding to that stimulus as the adult, then it's though you trespassed that offering now.
Okay.
And all the works of the flesh that come up are still obvious and real. And
okay, let's go one more, and then we're going to take we're quit. The complete or partial lack of support or encouragement or approval from your parents or a family or your family. Right. This one's a biggie. Because it will leave you with a feeling of absolutely no value or no worth. Now I want you to go back and remember those experiences. But see how you've made the blood of Christ of no effect by responding to that stimulus in that manner.
What was that again? It was complete?
Partial lack of encouragement.
Complete or partial lack of support, approval, or encouragement from your parents or family.
That would be now, if we didn't get approval of something, we would respond from that same position.
That's
total hurt and rejection.
Now, remember with specificity. That's the only, and again, I have to trust my impulse on this. You've got to begin not just to be satisfied with, well, when I was a little kid, I felt this way. That doesn't buy it. There are points, there are seminal points that are in your mind, locked.
Oh, and we start confessing as you want spontaneously, well, automatically, I'm not saying the fears won't be there. I mean, the thoughts won't be there, but they'll come and go.
Yeah, they'll be as nothing. They'll be as a fiery dart that the shield of faith has taken up, and it just, you didn't have any, it has no more power over you.
Because I know when they said that to me for like half an hour, I could have killed it. And with a knife or anything, it was like, because I felt she totally cut me off, and it's like all these things I could remember.
Okay, now, but use that. See that as the instrument God is using to bring you back to those seminal issues, the beginnings. Don't look at Lee.
I know,
but yes. But now go use that to take your back, okay?
There is a similarity with the high place thing because of that, you know, like she was talking, Pam was talking, I was over here going, that's me. You know, when somebody's on the hot seat, it was like everybody was, in one way or another, nailed.
Now, another one is overprotective parents who always bullshitted you, told you everything you did was wonderful. They never let you. Didn't ever let you pay for a mistake. They never let you run out of money. They never let you fail. They always took you in your arms and said, how wonderful you are. Just the opposite of the other one. Who all never let you be separate.
But how? What is our response to that? Those are the ones we put up high and think they're great?
No, those are the ones that caused you to live a phony. You're so fucking phony you wouldn't recognize reality if it hit you with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah.
Give it
I think there's very many people that
had
parents like that. Yeah, really? Rare. It's a short
thing. No, parents are getting a lot of bad grades.
Grandparents. We got to get grandparents.
Oh,
we got to get grandparents and parents.
Oh,
yeah. Grandparents are already on moves.
Yes.
Now
we're
tired.
Don't fight me here. Oh, I got one. Never mind. Okay, that's enough. You understand? Tonight's fundamentally, I thought we'd get farther than we did, but I was interrupted so often I couldn't help it.
Does it want a little sympathy?
Huh?
And we have to do the afkamen.
And we have to do the afkamen. We're going to take, again.
Oh,
We've talked about this in the past, but I don't think you understood it then. Maybe you will now. That every time you make a plan or an imagination or a device or calculate, what you are doing is being God's counselor. You understand that?
Wow.
It's not smart to be God's. God didn't want you sitting there mouthing off to him.
I think if I wrote that on the back of my glasses right here, I'd be okay.
I'd be okay.
He really hates to hear that. He really hates to hear that mouthing off.
But it's written in our hearts.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, the reason time and space exists is the test. No other reason. It's the trial of your faith. It's precious. So you know, again, it's like, I don't care how fearful it is, I don't care what the status is.
It's like we're testing those experiences to see if they're reality.
Yeah. And it's part of what faith is. It's the evidence thing. Now, be transformed, as really says, be transfigured by the renewing. Now, the word renewing is a great word in the Greek, and it's anakinesis. And it means a gradual, it has the concept of gradual, so you don't have to worry about it. It's a gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. Giving back the land to its rightful owner. And that's what, and he's going to, I mean, you don't have to worry about it. Don't do this with I want you to try to, instead of to me, the great, just, and I learned this after the flesh, it doesn't matter, but I learned something that one of the most enjoyable experiences of life was controlled fear. And that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but what it means is fear, the experience of fear in confidence. It's like the idea of jumping out of an airplane, or the idea of mountain climbing, or all of these.
A horror film where you know you're not going to get hurt.
Yeah, or all of those things, but they're all vain shadows of this. Transformation of terror into excitement. I don't know if I can.
Yeah. It's the same stuff. It's
the same stuff. But when that fear of separation is gone, when the desire and need for control is gone, then the thing that has been terrifying to you will be transformed into excitement. It'll be living on the knife edge of soul and spirit. And that's where his processes take place. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want you to see a little bit something differently tonight. And that is, when we take the bread and the wine, that we are taking it at all ages. You understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. Bringeth forth the bread of life from this earthen vessel.
Not if you keep dropping it, though.
And who by all his word and teaching, this is all you need. This is the sustenance of life. He said, take, eat. This is my body. Apprehend who he is.
What's wrong with this? It's too
crispy. For every chew, it goes back a year. Oh, that's wonderful matzah.
You're supposed to chew your food 33 times.
It's going to take a whole lot longer to chew. It got soggy while you were talking.
Where did that matzah come from?
A blessing. Yay. Sister of Barbara.
Rabbi.
It didn't taste that much better than this.
Eat more matzah.
Oh.
And he took the cup. We gave thanks. We said, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. Now, you've never been anything else other than the fruit of the vine. You've never been separate. You've never had any other identity. Now we're simply overcoming the lie, the evil one, who's been the usurper in the land from all these many years. But so this wine will cover your worthiness from the beginning, because it's an affirmation by the blood of who you are, what your identity truly is. He said, take, drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin, all trespass, all fault, past, present, and future. Amen. To life. Well, try to see and allow the Spirit to open you totally. So that you're naked and unashamed. Another toast.
To like it on Satan's head.
To knowing you're the fruit on the vine.
Amen.
It's all together, right?
Take it, big guy. Is everybody...